This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Is today the greatest day?
No, that's Wednesday.
Because that's the trade deadline day?
Yeah.
Fair enough. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290.
Drew, disarm me with a smile.
I'll put you... Aren't you just the rat in the cage?
All right, guys, not to the Smashing Pumpkins. Okay. That's before it, I smash one over both of your heads.
I'm done. That was the extent of my knowledge right there. I'm done for the rest
of the
day.
Well, when people ask me like what I think, like yeah, you're on the radio. It's awesome. You guys have so much fun. I say, no, it's more like melancholy and the infinite sadness.
Okay.
That was pretty good. Shift our focus to the Eastern Conference. Go division by division, team by team there, previewing those teams. Let's start with the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference, the best team in the Atlantic Division. That is the Boston Bruins. Obviously, last year they were the Eastern Conference representative in the Stanley Cup Finals. They lost Dennis Seidenberg for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what they need to target in terms of a replacement, a top four defenseman?
Yeah, you can really take issue with their forwards when you have centers Bergeron, Krejci, Kelly, and Campbell. When your right wing is Iginla, Riley Smith, who's had a really good year,
yep.
Louis Erickson, Sean Thornton. When your left wingers are Lucic, Marchand, Soderberg, and Pai, you're going to look for defense. And you look at their defense guys, and you know you put Chara on Boychuk, and then Krug is a really nice-looking young defenseman. McQuaid's a solid guy, but you need to solidify the right side of your defense, in my opinion, unless you're going to trust Dougie Hamilton right now, and Julian doesn't necessarily trust young defensemen, I think Derek Morris makes a lot of sense in Boston. I could see Nick Schultz possibly being there too, but I think Derek Morris makes the most sense here.
Yeah, Derek Morris, you know, we were talking about this at the MTS Center when the Coyotes were in town. Derek Morris might not move like he used to, but Derek Morris is like your prototypical tough Western Canadian defenseman, and he's still really sound defensively, Richie, and he's been part of Dave Tippett's team there for a while now, and I agree, that is a good fit. And we're hearing a lot about Chris Phillips being there, and
but they say they haven't talked to him. I mean, I've talked to Ottawa about him. That's the rumor. So
yeah, and again, we're just hearing that. I'm not saying that's mm-hmm. going to happen. I guess that's kind of what they're looking for there, and you know, that is a huge hole to fill, because you know, you mentioned that Dougie Hamilton's been playing with Chara, and we talked about this on the midweek show. Matt Bartkowski, a guy who many people mm-hmm. haven't heard of, can move the puck out of zone, and then you've got Krug and Kevin Miller there. So you're still going into the playoffs, though, missing Dennis Seidenberg. Seidenberg is a very underrated defenseman, a huge part of that team, yeah, and I think that's why they're feeling the pressure to replace him, because they've done a good job, and this group of defensemen has done a good job, but you also have Adam McQuaid, who's had injury problems.
Mm-hmm.
So Adam McQuaid's another guy. Kevin Miller is right now in the lineup for him. So I think that's what you're looking at. Richie mentioned, you know, their centers and their group of forwards there. Boston Bruins don't need to make any moves. They acquired Jerome Iginla. Mm-hmm. They have a great group there, lots of depth, best fourth line in the league. We've talked about that many times. So they're tweaking their lineup. Maybe pick up a defenseman. That's about it.
See, but when I look at their team, though, guys, they need a defenseman. They don't just need a defenseman. They need a top four defenseman, because they need to have a guy who can log the minutes. And you know, if you look at the way they've dispersed their minutes on the back end this year, I think that kind of leads you to believe that has to be their need, because time on ice is always going to be the, you know, they play Chara 25 minutes a game, but let's be honest, Chara could play more. They just want to save him for the playoffs.
Right.
Seidenberg was playing 22 minutes a game. He's gone. Boychuk's their next biggest guy. Then everybody else, Barkowski, as he mentions, Hamilton, Krug, those guys are playing under 20. And so, and they're sharing a lot of ice time, right? Miller and all that. I think they want a guy who can, they can log on the minutes that that they lost with Seidenberg. And I'm not sure they want to do it with a young defenseman. I just, especially on a team, you're the best team in that division, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have a chance, and based on the new format that you have now, you should be playing, you know, obviously things don't always go as you expect, but that you should be playing Pittsburgh in the conference final. So are you gonna take your chances with the young defense? I just don't think Julian doesn't like it. I don't think he'll trust him. I mean, Krug, he blogged last year in the playoffs and he brought him along a bit, but he doesn't want to be sacrificing a chance of the cup for development. This is not the stage that they're at.
No, they're at a we want to win the cup or we want to be in the cup stage in their team's progression, like you said. The team that's in second place in the Atlantic Division right now is the Montreal Canadiens. And we know the Canadiens, you know, they got a lot of talent among their forward group, but they certainly are small. And that's been the knock on them for a number of years. We saw Ottawa beat them up pretty good last year in the playoffs. You know, the Canadiens, you know, size is, you know, obviously their need, but it's not that easy to acquire. And I don't know that they have the pieces necessarily to go out there and make a big splash at that point.
Yeah, and they have some young talent that they could possibly move or draft picks. But to me, what happened last year was Max Pacioretty and Thomas Plekanec really didn't show up in the playoffs. And, you know, they've got some really nice young players there, and maybe they're experiencing a little bit of a sophomore slump, that being Alex Galchenyuk and Brendan Gallagher. Brendan Gallagher's a great player, and you remember against the Jets, he was a super pest, and he is against most teams. But the Montreal Canadiens, look at, and we've talked about this, you know, throughout the Olympics and before the Olympics, about their group of defensemen, and they moved Diaz out of there, and Weber's not there anymore, and Markov and Emelin and PK Subban. We know PK Subban is and how good he is, but it's a team that right now isn't looking like a threat in the Eastern Conference. And I agree with Richie. I look at their team and I could see them acquiring a guy like, you know, you mentioned like a David Legwon, but that's not really what they need there, because they're pretty set at center. They might be small, but they're skill, Richie. This is a team, and Lars Eller, they're a team that can score. I think, to me, it's almost like you need a top four defenseman in there. That's kind of what I look. They obviously don't need any goaltending help.
When you look at their back end, though, you know, Emelin coming off the surgery, Markov, you know, slowed down, although his agent said he wants to stay in Montreal. I'm not shocked by that. George's Tenorti, Murray, you want to be able to move better on the back end, especially with such a fast forward group. You want to be able to get that puck up quick and be able to skate with them. So a puck-moving D, I think, is a need, and obviously size it forward. But do you do that all at once? I think Bergevin knows this team is not a piece away. And so the interesting thing would be if they were to dish off a player like Gionta or Markov. But I see him probably standing pat and taking his chances.
Richie, you mentioned, you know, just quickly, you mentioned that, you know, the Habs need more puck-moving defensemen. Most of the defensemen that are in the trade market, because we're talking about trade deadline preview.
Exactly.
These are stay-at-home, lumbering defensemen.
So I see him saying, Pat, there's nothing there. Like,
you're not going to get a Jay Bouwmeester here.
Well, especially once Dan Girardi went off the market yesterday.
Right, but he's your stay-at-home guy too, though.
I know, but he's a better of all the defensemen available.
Aside from PK Subban, Richie's right. They have trouble moving the puck. They don't move the puck like they did a few years ago.
Markov can move it, but again, it's getting to it and moving it. It's not just half of that.
Yeah, you got to get the puck. But you can move it if it's on your stick, but it's hard to get it on your stick.
But I think he'll take his chances, and this is the reason. I know you want to go to break. This is the reason.
Okay.
Because last year they had a bad matchup against Ottawa's size with their speed and skill. But if they get into it and they match up against a team that's a speed team also, they can win. They got Carey Price. They got Subban. They got some good forwards. They can win. So yeah. I think he'll probably take his chances.
I don't know about trusting Carey Price in those big games.
Yeah.
Let's go to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the NHL Trade Deadline Preview Show on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Drew wants to be sedated.
Yeah. Anytime I spend with you, Ezzy, it usually makes me want to be sedated. This segment is brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. For over 25 years, Rumors has been Winnipeg's home for the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Tonight at Rumors, Dave Williamson, his final night in town. The first 7 shows for Chris Kattan sold out so quickly that they added an 8th show. So that is coming up next weekend, Chris Kattan at Rumors. Tickets available for the Sunday 10 p.m. show. All the other shows are currently sold out, so you still have one last opportunity to get tickets to see Chris Kattan at Rumors next weekend. That's rumorscomedyclub.com to get tickets, or 488-4520. Continuing on with our look at the Atlantic Division, the Tampa Bay Lightning, sort of, to me, they're similar to the Colorado Avalanche in that people are surprised at how they've been performing over the course of the year, but they've just been doing it game in, game out. Yeah. They've been up there. Nobody really expected much from them, especially without Steven Stamkos.
Right, I agree. But they're doing it in – I agree with that.
But they're doing it in a weaker division.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair comment there. You know, do the Lightning need to do anything besides really get Stamkos back in the lineup, which sounds like it'll happen sometime in the next, let's say, month?
That depends on your expectations, Drew. It always gets back to expectations. When you look at this division, it's a division in flux. You could say they're the second-best team in the division. You could say they're not. Do they think they have a reasonable shot to beat Boston? Yeah, why not? I mean, when you have the game-breaking talent and you have a goaltending that's played that well, you certainly have a shot. I don't think over a seven-game series they would beat them. But if they think that they have a reasonable shot, they need to add defense, specifically on the right side of the defense. I think they need to improve. And aside from Malone up there, they're really not a big team, Drew, and I think they like to add some size up front.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Boston Bruins and even the Pittsburgh Penguins to a lesser degree. They have some size up front, and they have some physicality. And the Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, you mentioned, I am surprised that without Steven Stamkos, the Tampa Bay Lightning have held on to third in the Eastern Conference. And, you know, Tyler Johnson has come along a little bit later as a 22-year-old mm-hmm. rookie, and he's been good at that second-line center. And Marty St. Louis having another good year.
Well, hold on.
And hold on.
He's there.
What's the wild card, right?
Are you surprised that Yassi, it's come to this?
No, not at all.
Really?
Well, if you hear Phil Esposito's comments about
we can't play and there's too many F-bombs.
Yeah, there were too many expletives, but it's really unfortunate because you would think that after not being selected to Team Canada and then making the team because of Stamkos's injury, you'd think that Marty St. Louis would come back from Sochi with a gold medal and he would be fine. And that's not the case. And he's apparently very happy to be moved out of Tampa Bay. Now, this team, Richie, you mentioned the right side, they need a defenseman. You've got Radko Gudas and Mark Barberio, and those guys are young, good, physical defensemen. But really, you're talking about a team that, you know, when they've been in Winnipeg, they haven't overwhelmed me. And now, this is a good team, but this is also a team that relies heavily on two lines. Mm-hmm. They're not very strong in their bottom four. And Teddy Purcell is a good player, and they signed him last year to a contract. But you look at the bottom lines, and you mentioned Ryan Malone, but you know, you could easily use some more scoring in those bottom lines. But again, it does go back to expectations for a team like Tampa, Richie. They are in third, but to me, they're a perfect candidate to be upset in the first round, to be honest with you.
They need to be able to skate better on the back end if they want to compete, I think.
Yeah, and Victor Hedman is probably having his best year mm-hmm. as a Tampa Bay Lightning, but after Hedman and, you know, Sammy Salow, who's graying the beard, you know, you're getting a little bit thin there on defense.
One last team before we go to break, that's the Detroit Red Wings. You know, we're so used to seeing the Red Wings firmly in a playoff spot come trade deadline that there's never a question about whether they're going to be buyers or sellers. They are in the playoffs right now. They hold down the second wild card spot. I suspect they're going to end up getting that second wild card spot, maybe even the first one, because the rest of the Eastern Conference is just that bad. They have a 3-point lead on the Washington Capitals right now. You know, is this just sort of a transition year for the Red Wings, or could you see them potentially buying something to try and, you know, make a bit of a run in a weak Eastern Conference?
First thing, you guys know I'm the biggest Mike Babcock fan. I said on Wednesday I think he's the best coach in the league since Scotty Bowman. The job he's done with this team. I know it's a weak conference. Not enough attention has been given to him, and he's a great coach, about the job he's done with this group. If you look at how many forwards have played significant time on this team.
Well, I'm just looking at your spreadsheet here, and it looks like they have about 18 forwards on their roster.
When you're Kenny Holland and you have a great grasp of short-term and long-term, you're not making any big moves unless you think a guy is going to help you. They're not adding a free agent. They're not adding a pending UFA to make a run here. Last year, nobody expected them to do anything. They almost beat the Blackhawks. They probably should have beat the Blackhawks with a 3-1 lead in the second round.
They beat the Ducks, yeah.
And they beat the Ducks. I don't see them making... But you bring in guys like Albertson, even though he's on a one-year deal and you want to kind of make a run with him, you're not going to try and complement that addition to see if he can make a, you know, can take you to the promised land. They're going to probably do, I would suspect, very little. But if they do make a move, and people say Kessler, I don't see Kessler there. I see Kelly Slater's more of a Philly guy.
I agree with that.
It's a guy who they're going to have for a couple of years still.
And sorry, Drew, just quickly, because they're in danger of missing the playoffs altogether, they have some good young players there, like a Riley Sheehan, Thomas mm-hmm. Tatar. These guys mm-hmm. are a few years away. This is only their first year in the NHL, and you know they've had the injuries, and with Zetterberg injured, that's why Richie is right again. I think with Zetterberg injured, that's a concern that mm-hmm. even if they do get in the playoffs, yeah. what kind of damage are they going to do?
Let's hit the break. When we come back, we'll continue our look at the Eastern Conference Atlantic Division. This is the NHL Trade Deadline Preview Show with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
2 hours down, 1 hour to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN 1290, TSN1290.ca. Drew Mandel, Richard Pollock, Ezra Ginsberg in studio with you. Follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, Facebook.com/Illegal Curve, and our website, of course, is IllegalCurve.com. Tomorrow night, the biggest night in entertainment, the biggest entertainment event of the year. It's the Oscars, and no matter where you are in this fine country, you'll be able to watch them courtesy of the CTV Go app. Normally, it depends on your wireless provider. Not tomorrow. It is free for everybody to use. Download the CTV Go app tomorrow, and no matter where you are in the country, you can catch the Oscars 7:30 p.m. Central Time here in Winnipeg. It gets underway, so be sure to check that out tomorrow, of course.
Who do you have winning, Drew?
I've seen one of the Best Picture movies, so I don't know. I'm going to say I think Ezzy was fabulous in Oklahoma or Nebraska or whatever it was called.
It's called Nebraska.
Okay.
Well, which movie have you seen?
American Hustle. And I'm never going to say anything against Jennifer Lawrence because she's quite pretty.
All right, next topic.
I haven't seen any of those movies, by the way.
Is Wolf on Wall Street nominated?
I haven't seen any of them.
I've seen that. Yeah. That was good. Yeah.
Did you see that with Remus's Baba?
I did. Yeah. This is true.
She just went, oh my God.
She enjoyed it, but there were some parts there that were a little bit over the top.
Yeah.
A little risque.
A little bit. The things you normally wouldn't want to watch with your grandmother, as the case may be. But continuing on with our look at the Atlantic Division, let's look at the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're also in the playoffs right now. They're in the first wild card spot in the Eastern Conference. And the Leafs, you know, their top six up front is certainly set. They're not going anywhere. They are all under contract. Nothing's going to happen there. Their entire third line are unrestricted free agents at the end of the year. And then there's the wild card player, and that's Dave Boland. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been healthy for them. They acquired him last year from the Chicago Blackhawks. He hasn't been healthy at all, and he's a UFA. Two questions. What do the Leafs need, and do you see them making a significant move come Wednesday?
Well, you know, Drew, fair question. I mean, they're small up the middle, even with Boland healthy there. Boland, Bozak, Kadri, and McClement, that's not going to be an imposing center group. That's why, you know, if you talk about a team like how the matchups all work and who they play is going to be important. They could use size up front. They could use a third-line winger depending on Boland's health, right? If Boland comes back and Kuhlman can move back to the wing, although he's like playing center, then maybe they don't need that. But the Leafs' problem is more at the core, I think, than one or two moves away, Ezzy. It's how do they win with this group and the way they've been leaking shots. I don't know. They like to add, I think, some depth on defense, although the Gleason addition has certainly helped them. A defenseman should help, and probably a winger, a top nine winger would help as well, and then maybe take some pressure off of David Clarkson, so maybe in the top six even, of course. But this team is not one move away.
Absolutely not one move away. They're really Richie. Just trying to stay in this playoff race here. Mm-hmm. You've got other teams that are pushing them where they are in the Eastern Conference standings, and you mentioned the defense, and that has been the problem for this team all year. And they acquired Tim Gleason, but you're talking Morgan Riley and Jake Gardner. Those young defensemen really struggled in their own zone, and they really have not been able to eat up those minutes. And, you know, Dion Phaneuf, sure, and Gunnarsson, the top pair, no problem with that. But that is the issue with this team. And are you going to give something up, a young player up, to acquire that? I agree when Drew says the top six there, you know, isn't going anywhere. That line has been excellent. But
Kadri might go somewhere.
You think he goes somewhere by Wednesday?
I don't
possible
think
RFA at the end of the year, right?
I think the whole Kadri, and I mentioned this earlier in the year, is absolutely ridiculous. He fought through struggles, and he's been good this year. And he was good last year. He was a point-a-game player last year. He went through the AHL. He's done a really good job for the Leafs this year. He's not a first-line center, and he had trouble filling in for first-line center when Tyler Bozak went out. But I think it would be a huge mistake to move
him.
Hold on.
Well, I mean, Kadri's under contract, Drew, for one more year, 2.9 after this year. So okay. 2.9, he's got two more. So a year and a half left, or a year and 20 games left. Ezzy, this is the thing, though. If they're actually wanting Ryan Kessler, for example, who do you think is going to be the centerpiece of that deal?
I don't know if they're after Ryan Kessler.
I could see them being after. I mean, let's remember that Nonis has the ties to Kessler in Vancouver. Brought him along there, matched the offer sheet, Philly, the whole deal. So, I mean, that's a possibility. I could see Kadri moving before them, but Ezzy, I agree. Like, you lean towards it probably not happening and them knowing what they have. But him and Carlisle, you could kind of see it on 24/7. You know, you couldn't really see it, but you've heard rumblings that there's not the best relationship there. If Carlisle's there for foreseeable future, and I know there were some worries that he wasn't going to be there for the foreseeable future this year. Yeah.
So congratulations, Nazem. You get to go play with Torts.
yeah, exactly. So I don't know, but I could see that happening. That would be a change to their team. But if you're the Leafs and you have that chance at Kessler, and that gives you that size and grit up the middle, and maybe gets, you know, alleviates the need to re-sign Boland, especially the numbers he's asking for, it might give you some leverage different ways. So I don't know. I think it's possible. But again, that's a huge age gap there, right? Kadri to Kessler. You're talking, 22 to 30.
And it's not ridiculous to think that they're going to make a move, because unlike previous years, we haven't heard a lot coming out of the Leafs as far as moves before the trade deadline. The guy that we didn't mention is James Reimer. Are they going to move him? Again, I think right now you keep him, and I never really understand why he had to be moved, but again, he's a name that could be moved.
And I agree with you there, Ezzy, because why do you move him? Can you get anything for him now? And is that thing in a piece going to help you, or do you trade him in the offseason when there's a little more room and I think a bunch of teams will be interested? I think like James Reimer in the offseason for the Jets might be a good possibility.
Obviously, the local boy, there's all sorts of talk there.
And they could use a goalie who could battle with Pavlik, who's had some success before, unless they think Montoya can be that guy.
Yeah. Let's head down the road to Ottawa, you know, the fellow Ontario countrymen, I guess, with the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Senators are sort of an interesting team in that they're not currently in the playoffs. You know, they've been struggling all year. They're, you know, 5 points back of the Red Wings for that final playoff spot. Yet you hear rumors that they might be buyers. But then a day later, you hear rumors that they might be sellers.
That's the kind of thing you want in the media.
Sure. You sort of leave them guessing. The name Chris Phillips, obviously an unrestricted free agent. He's been a lifelong Ottawa Senator. He's rumored to potentially be on the block. We talked about him earlier about Boston. You know, Milan Mihalik, you said, potentially could be a fit somewhere back on the West Coast where he started his career with the San Jose Sharks. You know, the Senators they're always a bit of a wild card, I find, come the trade deadline. You're never sure what they're going to do, but they definitely generally do something, whether it's, you know, acquiring Bobby Ryan at the draft last year or whatever in the summer last year.
Well, if they're going to buy, Drew, they don't have the picks from the Ryan trade. So what you can't trade – if you're the Senators, I know you have some young talent. Do you want to trade picks 2 years in a row, significant picks, and that gets you – that holds you back later on? They could use a third-line center. They could use some help on the wing on the third line. You could argue that they need a first-line winger to play with Spezza and move Zibanejad back to that center role and fill that role, that center hole that we're talking about. So they have needs. And then you look at their back end. You know, Phillips, Drew, this obviously isn't what he once was. He's up there, but boy, I have a lot of respect for the way he plays. Their defense as it's currently playing, like constructed right now, is so young, guys.
Sure.
Cowan, Carlson, you know, Greiba, Wierkach, CeCe, none of these guys are over 25. Can you play a whole season with all these young players? I mean, that's a question they have to ask, too. And is that something they address now? I see they can probably still compete if they dish off Phillips and dish off Mihalik. But I don't think that Brian Murray got the extension there, right? So he knows he's going to be there for a bit. I don't see him pressing the panic button. I think if he's smart, he gets a little bit from Mihalik and Phillips and tries to address the needs in the offseason.
Yeah, Milan Mihalik, Richie, you mentioned a couple times earlier in the show and just now, he's really struggled this year. And he was a huge part of their eventual success. He was a key to their team's success this year. Spezza, first year as a captain, struggled. This team has struggled. Compared to last year, Richie, you mentioned Ottawa last year upset the Montreal Canadiens. That was an upset, remember. So they weren't the favorite going into that seed-wise or whatever you want to say on paper. And so that team, Paul McLean did a great job with that team last year with all the injuries. Carlson had the Achilles injury and all that. But this year, this team has, as you mentioned, lots of holes, lots of issues. Their depth, they're very young. It's a team that I think is going in the right direction. Right. I think they're, you know, last year we mentioned the Ben Bishop and Corey Conacher trade. This team's got a lot of kind of of the same player, and so I don't think that they're going to make a lot of moves, and that's really I think the key. If we're trying to get, you know, one kind of theme going here, it's you have to look at where they are on the development cycle or the team, the overall cycle of kind of where you're going. And if you're going towards a Stanley Cup, then you make more moves. And Mahalik, yeah, sure. If you can get some draft picks mm-hmm. or you can get maybe a young forward in return, you move him. Phillips, same thing. If you can get maybe a younger forward and a draft pick, you move him. And aside from that, I don't think they're going to make any blockbuster deals.
Mahalik, if he stays healthy, is a nice addition for a team. Sure. That's always
he's a goal scorer.
The worry is, you know, he's an up-and-down guy who's big and can engage in contact. The problem is, can he stay healthy? That's going to be a question, but a team that has him for 20 games just hopes that he stays healthy for 20-plus playoffs.
That's right. Maybe it gives him a good run into the playoffs.
I mean, there's a bunch of teams that would
call... Go back to San Jose?
Well, I don't know. That's an interesting one there. Do they need that help on the left wing? I mean, they have Marlowe, Hurdle, and Havlat.
You're not sure about Hurdle's. I mean, he's a rookie, and you're not sure about his health.
And Havlat's not the player that he once was.
Right.
And there's a lot of teams that you can say, oh, you know, wouldn't he fit up nice besides Stamkos and St. Louis if they keep St. Louis? Wouldn't he fit really nice on in the way that, you know, what about Pittsburgh? I mean, maybe they want. I know Kunitz plays the left side there, but what about playing the second line on the left side there and with Neil and Malkin?
There's a lot of teams that can use a guy like Milan Mihalik. A couple teams left in the Atlantic Division. The first one's the Florida Panthers. They're definitely going to be sellers. They don't have much to offer. I mean, you know, Tim Thomas is probably the most intriguing name, I would say, there. They're definitely in selling mode. Well, I mean, maybe Marcel Gauch,
Mike Weaver, Drew.
Mike Weaver, yep. Yeah.
Those are three guys. I mean, Thomas, Weaver, and Gauch are guys that I think they can get something for. The remaining guys, maybe somebody wants to add Gilbert as a 7-8 just to be able to play in the NHL level if you get an injury. The rest of the guys I don't think will get you much, if anything at all. Gauch is a guy who can win faceoffs and play in your fourth line role, so I think there will be a market for him. Weaver's a guy who can kill penalties, block shots, play that Mark Stewart kind of role. Mm-hmm. A little better than Mark Stewart. So I think there'll be a market for him as well. And then Thomas, I mean, if you're at Pittsburgh and you're worried about Marc-Andre Fleury, why wouldn't you add Tim Thomas?
It doesn't cost you anything, and he knows how to win.
I know there were some issues in the room last year, apparently, but all those additions didn't. The room wasn't gelling. That was the word last year,
right?
And maybe you worry about the room not gelling with a guy like him in there. But well, you know, Drew, it's an issue. If it was last year,
it's an issue. You haven't heard anything negative about his time in Florida.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, you know, it's Pittsburgh's history of last year and the apparent problems in the room. Do they want to bring in a guy who could possibly create those problems again?
Yeah, but I think they would. I would agree that Pittsburgh definitely needs an upgrade in their backup goaltending spot.
Well, Vokoun might come back, I've heard. So,
yeah,
but
it's hard to trust that.
It's, you know, he hasn't played much this year, so could be something.
Last team to talk about is the Buffalo Sabres.
We didn't mention Kulikov there. That's the one wild card.
Well, Kulikov, sure.
Because somebody will add a puck-moving defenseman. I'm sure Washington would like to. I'm sure a bunch of teams would be interested in Kulikov just on an ongoing basis, never mind for this year. So that could be an interesting one. But again, if you want to increase your market to different teams that aren't just playoff teams...
Wait for the draft.
Doesn't say that... We're not saying that the trade deadline is only teams that are looking to move to the playoffs, but if you're looking to guys who aren't necessarily making a run, you want to open it up at the draft.
Yeah. If you watch Kulikov play, I wouldn't...
He's not a fan.
Stay away.
Well, hey, but he can skate, and he can move the puck. I don't love him defensively. I don't love when he doesn't really like to engage in contact. There's certain things I don't love about his game. But if a guy can play in this top six, maybe potential top four, and can skate and move the puck and play some power play, look how many teams we've talked about could need a guy like that. So you could see him move, but they're not going to trade him for nothing.
No, he's going to fetch a return for the for the Florida Panthers. The last team in the Atlantic Division, we talked about them really throughout the course of the show, given how active they've been. That's the Buffalo Sabres. Obviously, they made the first deal yesterday, trading out Ryan Miller and Steve Ott. They get back Yaroslav Halak. They get back Chris Stewart. They get a prospect. They get a couple draft picks. The guys that they can still sell include Yaroslav Halak, include mm-hmm. Chris Stewart. Mm-hmm. Matt Molson is expected to go. Zenon Konopka could go. Henrik Talander, Alex Sulzer. Lots of guys still in Buffalo.
Stafford.
Yeah, Stafford.
Ehrhoff has provided his trade list.
Stafford is valuable, Richie, because he isn't a pending UFA.
Yeah.
Right? So we were talking to Craig Cousins about that. Yeah. Teams apparently are really coveting those guys that have years on their contracts, right?
Certainly.
Just something interesting. It's just because a guy's a UFA, that means he's probably going to be a rental.
Same with Ehrhoff. He's not a UFA either.
A UFA either. 7 years left in his deal.
I know. That's
Christian
what I'm saying.
Ehrhoff has
Doesn't
been
he? He's in year three, right?
Yeah. Christian Ehrhoff has been
a $44 million dollar deal or whatever.
He's been awful this year.
He's
and when you hear about him as being a big catch,
It's hard to believe after yesterday's trade, but Buffalo still is the team to watch come the trade deadline on Wednesday.
Yeah, they are, because they're clearly more so than Edmonton, more so than Calgary, more so than any of the other teams at the bottom of the standings. They're in full-out fire sale mode. So they will really, what was that YouTube video last year? Everything must go. Buffalo Sabres. So, yeah, I think if Richie mentioned, you know, the LA Kings, Matt Molson could be there. There's a lot of teams that would want Molson.
Tim Murray, I love what he's doing. I love his aggressiveness. And one thing about Reguera, you know, you could, and Reguera overall, I think, had a nice tenure in Buffalo. He really did. But he left them with a nice building block for this year in the draft and the Vanek trade. And he could have been a guy, we mentioned this on the show before, who could have tried to make a move to save his butt. And he made a move for the long haul of the team, and he wasn't sure if he'd be there. So let's give him due credit as well.
Darcy Reguera, former Buffalo Sabres general manager. You look at the Sabres, and assuming they don't pull on the Oilers and they can actually scout well and nail their draft picks, they're going to be a team that'll be very good for a lot of years to come, given
well,
all the assets
they nailed Zemgus
have.
Girgensons, right? So they've been drafting well lately. And, you know, why not move these guys when you can get something that you're going to lose them, right? Like, if someone, Tim Murray must be listening to 70% of his team as far as offers go.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And you look at their, on the back end moving forward, Zadorov and Ristolainen. They're going to try and accumulate a lot of forward picks, forward prospects. I know Grigorenko and Girgensons are guys, and Grigorenko, who knows, but they're going to try and accumulate some forward prospects here and try and get back in this thing in 3 to 4 years.
Well, Matt Molson is going to probably get them another first-round pick.
I think so.
Halak could get them another first-round pick.
No.
Second?
Third,
really?
Yeah.
His stock has dropped that
far?
Well,
he makes a lot of money, Drew, for no assurance of being the number one guy.
UFA at the end of the year,
though. I know, but...
Well, and that's even more reason why you wouldn't get a first rounder.
That's the thing. Who's taking him as a starter?
Well, there's talk that Minnesota might be interested.
But they're not giving a first for him.
Fair enough.
I don't think he's much of an upgrade.
The way Darcy Kemper's playing, you go with that.
Maybe based on their injuries they would, but that's a second at most. I'm thinking more of a third. Just because I know he's proven it with Montreal before to have made a little bit of a run to the conference finals, but his Olympic play really did tarnish his value.
Yeah, he wasn't very good there, that's for sure. Let's head to break. When we come back, we'll look at the Metropolitan Division in the Eastern Conference. You're listening to the NHL Trade Deadline Preview on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
It's the same as this bull about Marty St. Louis being traded to New York for Callahan because he doesn't get along with Yzerman. What a bunch of that is. Don't give me this. You're going to trade Marty St. Louis, who has a no-movement clause. He doesn't want to leave. For Callahan, who the kid, I like him, he's a heart and soul-er, but he couldn't score more than 25 or 30 goals in his lifetime, and he doesn't play all the time because he gets hurt because he plays like he's 6'5".
Former Tampa Bay Lightning general manager Phil Esposito getting a little bit emotional about the talk surrounding the Martin St. Louis for Ryan Callahan rumored deal.
That doesn't rival the speech in Vancouver in 72, but I mean, that's probably like second or third.
Well, that was amazing. You know, Espo speaking his mind.
Well, no surprise there.
One of the best goal scorers of all time. I love it.
He's not a young man anymore. I'm not sure it's so healthy for him to get the
what
blood
do you mean,
boiling.
Drew? You got
to
act young.
Yeah, well, I mean, that would get your blood boiling, get him, you know, get some...
That's like, Drew, when you play shuffleboard at the senior center.
I play hard. I play no-holds-barred shuffleboard, let me tell you. Anyways, Phil Esposito talking about Marty St. Louis for Ryan Callahan, the potential of that trade.
That trade's not happening. Well, how many players is Ryan Callahan being traded for? He's being traded for Kessler. He's been traded for St. Louis.
Well, you can't have it all, right? So this is the thing about Callahan, quickly.
Let's start about those. We'll start Cousins, with the New York
Cousins
Rangers.
Craig Cousins says that's what the market, and I don't disagree with that's what the market is, but can't have it both ways, Ryan. You want to play in Manhattan, you want the spotlight, you want it all, you want to be in the Rangers brotherhood. You can't ask for $6.5 million a year because you're not a $6.5 million a year player. That's how it works. If you want to go elsewhere and take the money and run, go for it. More power to you. You can't have it both. You know, Sather knows what you're worth. You're not worth that. You may be worth that to some desperate GM like Dave Nonis was last year with Clarkson.
Boy, is that going to be a terrible...
It already is, but otherwise, I mean, you just can't pay a guy like Callahan that much money, in my opinion. I don't care the cap's going up. Like, the cap going up, you have to still negotiate in a world of comparables. So if one comparable is Clarkson, what about the other 30 comparables that aren't Clarkson?
Well, right. Clarkson, who was overpaid, so you're gonna compare your guy to a guy who's
right.
drastically overpaid.
And it's nothing against Clarkson. Clarkson's a great player, but he's a guy that had
player. Well, he's a solid player.
Okay, he's a solid player, but he's a guy that had 130 goal year, and because of the unrestricted free agency market, he was offered a lot of money. So
by Edmonton and Toronto.
That's not the player. That's the GM, as you mentioned, overpaying and being desperate. Now that makes me believe that. Would tend to make anyone believe that Ryan Callahan will stay with the New York Rangers, and he probably, if you think about it, he could probably get that money from another team if he actually stays with the Rangers and then becomes a UFA.
But they're not going to do that. Sather's going to say sign or you're traded, which I like the way Sather's handled all these negotiations. And, you know, Larry Brooks wrote in the New York Post that he should have jumped at the Girardi contract of 6 years. This is before he signed. 6 years, 5.5, which is what he ended up signing for.
That Callahan should have jumped at that.
No. We're talking about Girardi here.
Okay.
That Sather should have jumped at it weeks and months ago. Well, look what happened, Larry. Sather got it anyways. Sather seems to win these negotiations more than not. And Jeff Gorton there does a nice job as assistant GM. But if he can't sign Callahan, he will trade him as he rightfully should.
Well,
people make fun of Sather. You know, people like to poke, poke and needle at Sather because he's arrogant and because he hasn't done something in a while. Still got five cups, and this team has been solid, the Rangers, for a while. And they should have beat the Devils 2 years ago, and they should have played against LA in the final. They didn't. So be it. But he still knows what he's doing there.
Where does Ryan Callahan go? Is it just Tampa Bay at this point in time? Is that the only trade that you think is possible?
I think that was derived from the fact that St. Louis apparently would only go to New York, so that was the logical trading partner if the Rangers could do it. But, I mean, the Rangers aren't going to – of course the Rangers would take St. Louis, even if he is older, because he's under contract longer than Callahan is, and the Rangers would like to win, and St. Louis has a relationship with Richards, and you have Nash, and you can win now with your goalie and your defenseman. So it makes sense. Now, taking that out of it, if St. Louis is not an option – well, then where does Callahan go? I mean, how big is the market for Callahan? I mean, that's another question. I mean, you look at some of the teams, for example, of course, an LA would make sense, but you have Carter and Williams on the right side. How many more guys like Dustin Brown can you have who are heart and soul guys but can't score all the time? There aren't a ton of places. Like Philly, they're pretty strong. Philly's got Voracek and Simmons. Do they need a guy like Callahan? Maybe Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh would make sense. But they're not going to give him the big money with all their other big money stars on the team.
That's funny. You're talking about two teams that are both Eastern Conference teams.
Division.
Right? Division teams. So,
not going to do that.
And you can't help but really contextualize this because he will be asking for that money. Ryan Callahan, I think, has done himself a disservice by asking for this amount of money, Richie, because as you mentioned, Glenn Sather doesn't want to let him just go to the UFA market, right? Because then he loses his captain and a top winger for nothing. Right? So that's why he, as you said, he's rightfully so trying to get him to put his name on a contract or he'll move him. And if you know that he's going to ask for $6.5 million at that overvalued price, are you going to give up a lot for him?
Other conference I'm looking at, because that's, I think, where he would probably go, Minnesota. Could slide him beside DeCoyle on the right side of their second line. That's a possibility. Maybe Anaheim to try and take over for Solani. But if you're trading for him, you kind of, I mean, is Minnesota going to mortgage a bit of the future to trade for a guy like Callahan if you don't know if you're going to sign him? And maybe you want Vanek in the offseason, Anaheim. Do you want to lock it up? Do you want to spend the money on him?
The problem with that, Richie, sorry to interrupt you, is that Parise's making big money. Koivu makes big money. Pominville.
Suter.
You're going to be signing probably Granlund, Coyle, these guys coming up. So
I don't think the market for Callahan is as vast as people do think.
Well, because I mean, he doesn't.
And I have respect for his game. He's a great player, guys. He's a great player. He's a very good player who does who plays heart and soul, can score 20, get you 50 points, but not much more than that, and block shots and be a good leader. But the market for those guys is obviously, people always want those players, but they don't want those players for $6+ million a year. I don't care where the cap's going.
He also doesn't do enough for these teams that I think think that they're cup contenders but might need another scorer.
What team? Do you notice Callahan in the Olympics at all?
Not overwhelmingly. What team does he go on to that puts them over the top? There isn't one because he's not that kind of player.
I mean, I think he fits nice in Pittsburgh, but are you the Rangers and giving him over to Pittsburgh?
Probably
in your
not.
Division? You got to go through the division for the playoffs now?
So, yeah, that rarely happens. And yeah. Is what is again... you know, talking about Ryan Kesler, he's a center. They would want him as an upgrade over Brandon Sutter as the third line center. That's why Rob Rossi reported that Sutter might be going the other way. But when you're talking about Callahan, most likely a second line right winger on a team. He's a first line right winger because he just doesn't score enough. He can score, but he's not a 40 goal guy. He's a 20 goal guy at this point in his career. So you look at the other teams, and you know, Richie mentioned the Kings, but again, they've got gritty guys. I don't think that's necessarily who they're looking for. They're looking for a pure scorer.
That's right. San Jose, maybe, because they have scoring, so maybe he'd compliment those guys. But San Jose needs to add a defenseman guy. They don't need problems with forward here.
They don't have trouble scoring goals.
And Stewart's injured now. We don't know how long he's out for.
Right. Let's look at the Pittsburgh Penguins. You look at the Penguins, and they obviously expect that they're going to be, if they're not the Eastern Conference Stanley Cup representative, they want to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. They haven't replaced Pascal Dupuis. Is that the area they need to be targeting?
Well, I mean, you could put a monkey on the right side of Sidney Crosby, and they'll get you 15 goals.
It's funny you say that, because the guy who's playing on the right side is known as Gibbons. Gibbon. It's a type
Ryan
of monkey.
Ryan Gibbons, yeah.
Drew, I just focus on hockey players. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, Gibbon is a type of monkey. You said you could put a monkey on the right side of Sidney Crosby.
Okay, anyways.
Thought that was pretty good.
That's not bad.
It was pretty bad.
Their depth lines also could use a bit of so I think depth forwards. The first line right wing, Drew, sure, it's a factor, and they probably like to add somebody there. And, you know, maybe this is a place where a guy like Verbata possibly goes, and maybe they play another player up there. And I think Verbata likes to play the left side, though, more than the right side, if I recall correctly.
Well, it'd be an upgrade on Jussi Jokinen, I would say.
Well, maybe, but maybe Jokinen then goes to the depth lines, and you improve depth that way. So I think they need to improve depth. You look at their defense, though. You lose Paul Martin with injury. Orpik's a UFA, but they're not trading him, as far as I can tell. Niskanen's also a UFA. Matt has been a nice addition, but with Letang's injury, and it's a terrible situation, hopefully he's all right. With Letang's injury, and you know, who knows when he comes back, they need to add a top defenseman. And that's going to require assets to be traded, and not insignificant assets. So they need a two-way D-man, a guy who can move the puck and who can defend, and those don't grow on trees. And who's going to be giving one up who's under contract for the foreseeable future? Likely nobody. So then that takes you to the UFA market. And who is available? And I look at the UFA list. I don't know anybody who's available who can fit that need.
I think the Pittsburgh Penguins are absolutely, you nailed it. That's exactly what they're looking for, and I think they will try to acquire one. But again, you go back to, we're talking about the trade market and the guys that, and there could be someone out there that they try to go after, but
look at the list. Nobody there.
Exactly. And you're looking at guys like we've talked about, like a Chris Phillips or Andrew McDonald. They need a more of an offensive-minded defenseman.
That's
Chris
Letang,
because of the unfortunate situation with the stroke, we're not sure if he's going to play this year. They haven't announced it yet, but it's possible that he won't play this year. And you've got Olli Maatta playing top-line minutes. He's doing a great job, Richie. Mm-hmm. But when you get into those battles, into the later rounds, you're against the Bruins, and even if you get into the finals against the Hawks or the Ducks, Olli Maatta, and you're trusting a 19-year-old defenseman there. So I think that's something that they're going to be aggressive about. And that's where maybe they go after a name that we haven't heard. And again, you know, you mentioned Radim Verbata. That's a good option. Molson Vanek. All of these guys would be upgrades on what they have on the wings right now.
I think a guy who, you know, like Molson Vanek, has he certainly skill-wise, I think they need to add a guy who can just complement the top players. They don't need to take away from the top players. Let the top players be your guys. Just get guys who can toss in some goals. So Camilleri wouldn't be a bad fit there.
Yep.
Because
mentioned that.
Yeah, you did. And then that's something. You know, cap-wise, can you make it work? But on defense, Phillips doesn't work because Phillips is Orpik and Phillips is Scuderi. You need a guy who can play a little bit more of a two-way game, and you lose Letang. I didn't love their defense before. I mean, they had a bunch of guys who were solid, but can you go up against the top lines and shut them down when you need to?
Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll continue looking at the Metropolitan Division. This is the NHL Trade Deadline Preview on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290.
You're listening to The Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
25 minutes before the top of the hour, this is the NHL Trade Deadline Preview Show. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, Richard Pollock, Ezra Ginsberg, producer Tim, producer Remus. Make up your cast of characters on this Saturday morning. Hustler and Lawless following us in about 25 minutes' time. Continuing our look at the Metropolitan Division, and, you know, anytime it's quiet around the Philadelphia Flyers, like it currently is, something tells me there's something brewing.
Yeah, Paul Holmgren's brewing up a trade.
Well, you know, it's been pretty quiet around the Flyers this season, and that's unusual. They've made, they signed Steve Mason to that contract extension, but
Well, the moves to fire Peter Laviolette early, and
yeah, that was so many months ago.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. They made so much noise early we're used to the quiet at this point. But no, I mean, the Philadelphia Flyers right now, they're in a dogfight like six or seven other teams, Richie, in the Eastern Conference, and you know they were upset a couple nights ago. Sorry, I should say hammered a couple nights ago. I think it was 7-2, and
yeah, by San Jose,
and you know. This team, I think, can still probably use one more defenseman, and you know they're a team though that their depth scoring isn't as good as it once was.
If you, there's a lot of talk always about hockey trades, and that's what teams want to make nowadays is hockey trades. That meaning, you know,
I actually prefer soccer trades.
Okay, well that's good. Also, you know, to clarify, it's another one of those statements that you hate. Probably.
Well, that makes no sense. I'm a hockey trade. What's the other trades aren't hockey trades? Well, so they factor in money. Wow.
The Flyers seem like a team that can make a trade from, you know, one of their the players on their active roster and really put a package together that might make a splash at the deadline, whether it be for Kessler and doing something with Couturier or whatever. Whatever it is, but it's a little too quiet around the Philadelphia Flyers, and to me that means something might happen there, you know, come Wednesday.
I think it's bugging you a little bit, Drew, that they're not making any moves, but yeah, they're the Philadelphia Flyers this year. We know they got off to that horrible start and Craig Berube had to come in, Richie, but this is a team right now that, you know, after if Giroux and Voracek, you know, Scotty Hartnell and these players, Steve Downey, these are complimentary players. They don't have that scoring that they had, and Vinny LeCavalier hasn't put the puck in the net as much as you'd like to him. But we know that, you know, he came in there.
Slow team.
Yeah, and it's a slow team, and that's been their problem, back end, in and out.
Can't skate enough.
Yeah, and if there was a guy out there that they could acquire, and we know that they have you know, some guys that they can trade. Scott Laughton is a guy that played in the junior tournament.
Do you want to trade him, though? I mean, no, that's the kind of guy you rely on.
I'm saying they would trade them if they could get something that will really help them. They're not going to trade them. Those are guys that I think other teams covet. Yep. You've heard Braden Shen and Sean Couturier. You know, they've got young centers in the system. They want, though, a number one defenseman. They don't want a player that might be able to play. They want a guy now.
Well, that's my question is, do you go for Ryan Kessler? And you know what Ryan Kessler brings? And sure, he'd be a pain in the butt to play against with Giroux and Kessler as your top two centers. But can this team add a defenseman? As you say, like, is it's enough? Or you go out and sign LeCavalier to the big money deal? Can you add a defenseman? You need a number one defenseman.
Well,
you haven't
Mark
had
Streit
one since Pronger.
Was the guy.
And he can't defend, though. He can't skate well enough, and he's not big enough to defend.
Well, yeah, and it's been a huge disappointment for them.
Oh, no surprise. I mean, the fact that producing power play wise and points wise, that's, you know, that's also a surprise. But to think that he was going to fill a spot in your defense, I mean, you don't have any number one defenseman on that team. And Timonen's not what he once was, and he's a pending UFA. They're smart. They probably send some guys out and then retool for next year. But I don't know. You're right. They're quiet, and usually when they're quiet, they strike. And I would expect them to make the biggest push for Kessler out of all the teams.
Well, talking about Kessler, let's go to the state of Ohio. That's the Columbus Blue Jackets. Ryan Kessler played at Ohio State.
Yeah.
And you know, that's where the Columbus Blue Jackets are, of course, based. You know, is Ryan Kessler an option for Columbus in your mind?
Sure, he's an option. I mean, you'd love to be able to have a center court of Johansson and Anisimov and Dubinsky, big guys who are tough to play against for the most part. But... yeah, I do. Yeah, I think he fits there. The question is, what are you giving up? And Columbus has some nice pieces on the back end, but you're not going to give up. I mean, maybe you give up Jenner. Maybe you give up some of their prospects. But doesn't Kekalainen want to kind of build this kind of like St. Louis and load up on players? And are they a Kessler away from making a run? No. So when Kessler's due up in 2 years after the $5 million in the next 2 years of his contract, and you're signing him at over 30, he's 31, 32, and you're signing him to a big deal, and he's playing the wear and tear style of play that he has, I don't think it makes sense on an organizational long-term basis based on the talent they currently have.
We've talked to Aaron Portsline of the Columbus Dispatch on the show multiple times, and a guy that nobody's really talking about, you know, in terms of the trade deadline is Marian Gaborik. Well, by all accounts, he's been injured for the majority of the year.
Yeah, he's back. He's playing fourth line.
You can't ignore that.
What do you mean?
Well, you can't ignore the injury history.
Right.
We were talking about the injury. Like, we started the show 5 years ago. We were talking about his injury history. Gaborik, he can't play 30 games anymore at this point in his career. And it's a good point you make, though, Drew. I mean, Marian Gaborik still is a guy, as a pending UFA, you'd have to think, okay, would a team take a risk on him because he could maybe add some scoring to your third line, maybe plop him on the second line.
Well, yeah.
But
they,
but it, I think it's a clear rental, and so is that it's to me. I don't know how many teams would be after him. A couple of years ago, maybe, but now it's just you just can't ignore his injury history.
What about Anaheim? They have the cap space.
What does Gabrick get? Trading Gabrick, what is he bringing back in return?
I don't know anymore, Drew, with his injury.
Such a wild card.
Yeah, I mean,
if he's healthy,
a second, like, you just can rely on the other guys more, I think. And yeah, some people think he's quite flaky too. I think a second, maybe a first, but talent wise, the first for sure. But I think second right now.
And you mentioned, you know, he's playing on the fourth line for the Columbus Blue Jackets right now. He can't play. He just isn't durable enough to play a top six role. It has to be on a team. Once you get into the playoffs and you start rolling your four lines, because once you get into the playoffs, you have to roll your four lines. He can't. He would have to be someone that you throw out there and play maybe 10 or 12 minutes a game. He's just not the player that can play the top line role anymore.
I mean, I don't think Pittsburgh right now is the cap space unless they want to move out money. And what does Columbus want to do? Pittsburgh doesn't have the cap space right now. Neither does LA. So it's some teams that you could possibly, you know, LA, it makes sense. Left wing, speed. They need speed. They need a left winger in their top six. Makes a lot of sense there, but they'd have to trade money out.
Washington Capitals, perennially disappointing. The Washington Capitals.
I don't think Mafia has a job after this, Drew. I'm interested to see what they do.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he lost his job.
There's, well, he's got contracts up, so it'd just be right. Parting their ways.
3 points out of the last playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. The only UFA they really have is Grabowski, who, you know, has been very Michael. He's been Grabowski this year. He's been exactly what you'd expect from him, which is inconsistent and glimpses and flashes, but nothing to write home about.
They have a fundamental problem up front. You know, this the way this whole team is put together is a whole issue. But if you're looking just strictly at talent right now, they need to add another defenseman. But that defenseman's not going to make a difference between them making a run or not. I don't think this team's got a long. They have some pieces, obviously, Backstrom, Ovechkin, and Elsner and Carlson, but some of the other pieces help, but we have a whole fundamental problem there. I don't see as the one or two acquisitions changing the way this team looks. And if they think they're going to get a first-round pick back for Erad after the Forsberg trade last year, crazy.
Well, Erad, has he scored yet this year?
One goal?
He finally got a goal. Mazel tov to you, Marty Erad. The New Jersey Devils, Ezzy, this is your squad. They got a guy on the right side there named Jaromir Jagr, who never seems to age and can always seem to perform. Certainly not exactly what he once was, but on a contender. You know, he went to Boston last year. Didn't do much on Boston last year. Was that an anomaly, or do you think he can pick it up and do something maybe on the right side of Sidney Crosby there in Pittsburgh?
That's funny, but I think the Devils need him too much right now. The Devils are still in the playoff race. Mm-hmm. They've fallen back a little bit. I think they're in 12th or 13th, yeah, but they've fallen back a little
five
bit.
5 points behind the Red Wings.
Yeah, 5 points, and you know it's going to be a tall task, but it's also you can make that up. Nobody's taking over that Eastern Conference playoff race at all, so... You know, Henrique's starting to play better, and Damian Brunner's injured right now. I think this team probably will look to the offseason to make moves. And again, I personally don't believe Marty Brodeur is going anywhere. I don't think that it'll be. I don't think a team wants to give too much up to get him, to be honest with you. But I don't see them making moves. I think this is a team that does need to improve their defense drastically. I think after Bryce Salvador and Andy Green. Zdlicky has really struggled a lot this year. He's getting older. They need to replace him. And you really have, you know, kind of a team that's in that kind of are you rebuilding stage? Because there's a good chance they don't make the playoffs this year. They won their last game, but they've really kind of played 500 over the last, before the Olympic break, I should say. So don't know how active they'll be. I think they probably listen on some players, but I don't see a lot there.
Where does Jagr fit? You know, you look around the league, teams that need some scoring. Kind of San Jose can't keep up really there. The way the style of play that they want to employ, he's really the opposite of that. You look at LA, you know, they have some step on the right side. That's where Jagr will play on the right side. They don't need to get any slower on the right side. Slower up front, I don't think. Maybe Ottawa would have made sense if he was, if they were, you know, really close to playoff or if they were in the playoffs. But I don't see many teams that he fits on, and I kind of seem to agree with Ezzy that Devils probably stand pat. Maybe I could see him going back to Philly here. That's about it.
Yeah. His speed is the big factor. I mean, you know.
But he can play, and he played well with Giroux. Remember that, guys? And so, right. I mean, that might not be something they want to improve. You know, maybe they shake it up, and they move Voracek over, and who knows? I mean, not move Voracek to a different team, but move him within the roster. Right now he's playing with Giroux, so maybe move Jagr up there and then increase their offense around. That's a possibility. But I don't see too many places where he'd go that he fits into what you want to do. You think about St. Louis, maybe they want some extra scoring, but he doesn't play defense like Ken Hitchcock wants you to play. So,
yeah. Final team to touch on, the Carolina Hurricanes. You know, there's some subtle rumblings about their goaltending situation. Maybe could Cam Ward or Khudobin or Peters be had for the right price? It's possible. You've heard talk about it. Khudobin and the UFA after this year. Manny Malhotra, a team that needs a faceoff guy. He seems to get traded at the trade deadline every year to a team that needs a centerman to win key faceoffs. Late in the playoff run.
And Malhotra has been great for Carolina. Richie mentioned earlier this season he thought that maybe he could land in Winnipeg for what he offers.
Wouldn't he have helped for fourth line center for the last six months?
Yeah, he would have been a good fourth line center. Yeah,
he could have equaled James Wright's production.
No, okay. Carolina Hurricanes, similar to the Devils, I think they're 6 or 7 points out of a playoff spot now. Yeah. They're a seller right
now.
They're seven out of the playoffs, so they're a little bit further behind than New Jersey, but they're looking at a situation where, Richie, if somebody's offering for Khudobin, who really has been excellent for them, he was on Boston last year.
Penny UFA,
yeah. You're listening. Jim Rutherford. You're listening to that. And, you know, the Stahl brothers, they're kind of the future of this team. This is a team that, you know, unfortunately for Carolina fans, I don't really like where this team's going. To me, I don't know really where this team is going as far as the future here. I mean, they've got some prospects, but it's they're pretty thin on the wings, and their defense is slow and aging. And I don't mean to be a downer here, but I'm just saying the Hurricanes, the prospects don't look too bright. I don't know. Maybe you guys disagree, but
maybe the worst defense in the league.
Ron, hockey related. Ron hasn't made
general,
a big difference.
1-6, terrible defense.
Yeah. I mean, I love the Stahl brothers. Eric Stahl's. I picked him on my Olympic team. Jordan Stahl's great. But after you go, and Jeff Skinner, we can't forget Jeff Skinner. He's had a good bounce back year. But after that, you know, Talusti hasn't been good this year. Salmon makes a lot of money. He's a one dimensional player.
What about Jordan Stahl? I mean, Jordan Stahl hasn't been good, and he makes a lot of money.
Yeah. If you look at that trade, if you look at the trade, including the salary that they signed them to, they have to be disappointed.
Well, the Pouliot pick and Sutter and Stahl, oh yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And another thing about Stahl, the problem is you trade for him, and Drew, you trade for him, and it looks great. But if it doesn't work, you can't really trade him because he's Eric Stahl's brother. So you're kind of locked in there.
I think you could argue on Pittsburgh, he was a third line center. On Carolina, he's a second line center. You could argue that he's better suited for that defensive third line center role. He's not really a second line center because he doesn't score enough.
Remember one thing, people always forget this. Pittsburgh could have drafted Jonathan Toews.
They took Jordan Stahl instead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he got a cup. I mean,
yeah.
Worked out.
I think it worked out for everybody, but you look at it and think that they could have drafted Malkin, Crosby, and Toews.
I think that's a decent team.
That's all right.
That's okay.
It's okay.
Probably the three best centers in the world.
Yeah. Well, Toews is your third line center. That seems to make sense.
On Team Canada, imagine he's a third line center in the NHL, too.
Let's go to break. One final segment. It's called Rapid Fire. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290.
You're listening to The Illegal Curve Hockey Show, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
One final segment this Saturday morning here on The Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You know it. You love it. It's called Rapid Fire.
Rapid Fire.
An abbreviated version there of today, given that we're right up against the clock. First question in Rapid Fire, over under. Will there be over or under 20 trades leading up to next Wednesday's trade deadline? Last year, there were 17. The 2 years before that, there were 16. And in the 2010 trade bonanza, there were 31. Over or under 20 trades leading up to Wednesday?
I got 22, so I'm over. More action than last year and the years before, but not as much as that crazy year.
Yeah, I'm with Richie. I think I'm going over. The last couple of years, you mentioned 17, 16, 16, then 31 4 years ago. But because of the Olympic break, Richie, and because of the fact that we haven't seen a lot of trades this year, I'll go 24.
Of those trades, do you think many of them are going to be more on the significant side than the less significant?
No, I think you'll see four significant deals and probably 18, you know, not insignificant players, but for draft picks or, you know,
future considerations, waiver moves. You know, I always like it seems like the first pick trade on trade deadline day is always like, you know, a seventh round pick for two guys you've never heard of.
No, it's always like Mike Sillinger for somebody.
Mike Sillinger holds the record for playing for the most NHL teams.
Over under, will the Jets make over or under one trade prior to Wednesday's trade deadline?
I'm going to say, if I had to pick, I would say under.
So they're not going to make any moves?
Yeah, I would guess no moves. But if anything, I don't think any more than one. So push.
You're saying even? Even,
well, yeah. I think the over-under should have been set at 0.5, really.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
way to go, Ezzy.
Same thing.
Ezzy, actually, you're not going to Vegas with
so you're saying they would make a, if I said even, they'd make half of a trade?
I don't think you could say even, is what my point is.
I'm going to say under. I don't think the Jets will, and I don't think they should. I think the team's been playing well, and you know they're going for a playoff spot here, and they don't need to make a trade.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And cheers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something stinks like this.
Surprisingly not good.
Richard Pollock, cheer or jeer?
Well, it's been actually a little while. Keith Allen was the general manager of the Flyers years ago during the Broad Street Bullies, and he passed away a few weeks ago. We haven't been able to talk about it because we were talking about Olympics and different things. So give due credit to a guy who kind of changed the generation of hockey, whether you like it or not, and had a big effect on that. So give a cheer there.
Ezra, you're next.
I'm going to make a cheer because you didn't include it in rapid fire. I'm going to do a cheer here for the Ottawa and Vancouver mayors, Jim Watson, mayor of Ottawa, Gregor Robertson, mayor of Vancouver. They made a bet on the outcome of Sunday's Heritage Classic game. The winning mayor, I should say, will get a beer of the opposing province's choosing. So Vancouver's beer is Granville Island. Ottawa's beer is Big Rig Gold. And I'm going to try both of those beers tonight.
At the same time.
At the same time. Just because I really like them, and I'm pulling for both teams, maybe. So
when's the Heritage Classic?
Tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah, and there's an outdoor game tonight, in case you didn't
know. No, the Heritage Classic is Sunday.
No one cares.
Yes, tomorrow is Sunday.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's an outdoor game tonight.
Sorry, that's right.
Today, and he's actually drinking two beers.
Yeah, he's already started drinking the beers. I'll wrap up cheers and jeers. I'm going to cheer Evander Kane. So often you hear quotes that really say nothing. He gave a quote after the Thursday game against the Coyotes, talking about considering fighting Keith Yandle. He goes, "I did think about fighting," Kane said, smiling. "That's why I dropped my gloves, more so instinct. It's not going to stop me from fighting or defending myself. I definitely had a Frank Ricard moment there from old school. Blacked out there for a second. Pretty much, I'm that easy. If you quote Frank Ricard, I'm going to give you my cheer."
I love you, Drew.
I love you too, Ezzy. That's it for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show today on TSN 1290. Big thank you to our sponsors, CGA Association of Manitoba, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, and the Linden Market Dental Center. Big thank you to Craig Customs for joining us. In case you missed any of the show, it will be available for download on iTunes, on tsn1290.ca, and of course on our website, illegalcurve.com. You can follow us on Twitter, at illegalcurve, facebook.com/illegalcurve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and NHL news is illegalcurve.com. For producer Remus and producer Tim, for Ezra Ginsberg and Richard Pollock, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Hustler and Lawless are next on TSN 1290.
You've been listening to
the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
Catch the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live Saturdays on TSN 1290 and TSN 1290.ca.